This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. My dear friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There's a hadith that I want to quote, a hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the great sahabi, he says that when the month of Ramadan enters, then there's a number of changes that take place. He discusses a number of changes that are taking place. And just to introduce those changes to us, some of them are cosmic, some of them are something that we only told about, informed about, we can't actually see. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانَ, then the doors of paradise are opened up and the doors of hellfire are closed and the shayateen, the devils, are locked up. Now these are three things that we can't see because they're things beyond us. I mean, paradise, hellfire and the shayateen, we can't. But I guarantee you that everybody here who's experienced a Ramadan with faith, they would have had the experience of these things. Doesn't everybody agree that when Ramadan enters, you actually feel a bit more righteous, at least from the day before, right? Or the week before. And you actually feel more guilty if you're not doing extra. So paradise is opened up. The doors of paradise are opened up. It sounds symbolic. For us, we can take it in reality or as a symbolism. It doesn't make a difference. The point is that it's easier to get into paradise, to be decreed to get into paradise in the month of Ramadan, because it's the time when Allah wants to give us every excuse to do so. Because the Prophet ﷺ says in another hadith that at every evening of Ramadan, in every day of Ramadan, Allah has utaqa, people He frees from the shackles of sin or hellfire, however you want to take it. And those people are then written to be from paradise. The doors of hellfire are closed, which basically means that in Ramadan, if anybody wants to get into hellfire, they're probably going to have to break in. They're going to have to be really miserable, a really misfortunate to be able to want to do that. Because Allah says, look, I don't want anybody in hellfire at this time. Paradise being opened up, hellfire being closed, shaitans being locked up. You feel the mercy in the air. Now let me speak to our sisters. Well, let's speak to our brothers actually first. Don't you see that the women have some amazing, and I'm not stereotyping, it's just the normal tradition that it's the women who cook in the house. I know we may have families where the man may be cooking in the house, but that's, you know, alhamdulillah. But generally, it's the women who cook in the house, and may Allah bless you all. Have you noticed that there's some really amazing types of foods that come out during the month of Ramadan, both in the masjids and in the homes? Where they get the himmah from to do that? Where they get the strength to do that despite the fact that they're also fasting? That's another barakah. There's just barakah and blessing wherever you go, including in the types of food that you will have. That's why non-Muslims, they love coming to masjids in Ramadan. Because mashallah, at least the cuisine is really good, right? And mashallah, Muslims are generally very hospitable. Let's just take shaitan out of the picture quickly. I know that it's the elephant in the room because I've mentioned it. Sufidat ash-shayateen. This hadith says, shaitan is locked up. Many people will question this idea. I still feel like sinning in Ramadan. I don't just suddenly stop. I may stop a lot, but there's still certain things that I may still feel inclined to do. And herein lies the answer to this. What is the way I look at this narration is that it's not shaitan that is making us do any sins in Ramadan necessarily. The reason is that, think about it, and if you can't think about the past, then think about the future when Ramadan actually comes up. Think of the nature of the wrong deed, the wrongdoing, the sin that we feel like committing. You will notice that it's probably something that we've committed many times before. People will hardly ever feel like doing a new type of sin in Ramadan. And this is, a lot of people will tell you this from experience. You'll know this from experience. The reason is that the sins that we still feel like committing in Ramadan are essentially just habits. They're not through the shaitan anymore. They're just the nafs, the habit that we've been accustomed to them, right? Whatever it is that it may be, I mean, I don't want to get into that, but whatever it may be, it's just the same habit kicking in. It's just like when you go to work at 10 o'clock in the morning, there's a nice coffee machine in your place, right? They have a nice coffee machine with the various lattes and everything, and you have a coffee at 10 o'clock in the morning, otherwise you feel tired. When Ramadan comes, though you're fasting, you're still going to feel that, or the need for that 10 o'clock kick. It's going to take a few days for us to overcome that. So the idea is that generally in Ramadan, if anybody feels like sinning, it's probably due to a habit. It's an habitual sin. And Ramadan is then the time for 30 days to kick that habit. Because shaitan's out of the picture. See the difference, what the ulama mentioned, between shaitan pestering someone, whispering to someone to commit a sin, and a sin that comes through habit from the soul, is that shaitan wants us to commit any sin. He's just happy that we do a sin. So if we don't do one sin, it's another sin. But the thing is that, number one, shayateen are severely restricted or imprisoned in Ramadan. Number two, if you do any dhikr, you read Quran, you say La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, whatever, shaitan runs away. Waswasil khannas, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. The nafs, the self, the soul, the habit is totally different. You can do all the dua you want, it will still want to do. It will still push you. I mean, us smokers, and do all the dua in the world, there's still a push, unless you're very lucky. The idea is to suppress it. Generally what the scholars of spirituality say, that if you suppress yourself 7 times from any particular urge, then you will gain mastery over yourself. If you give in, then that soul will take over again. Ramadan is the time, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, as Allah says in the Quran, so that you can gain taqwa. When Allah tells us stop eating and drinking and lawful sexual intercourse, the 3 things which are normally permissible at other times, they are lawful things, eating and drinking. We're eating and drinking right now, or we will be. But in Ramadan, you can't do that during the daytime. Lawful things that you can't do. Stopping us from giving in to the urges of the soul for lawful things, and thus also for unlawful things, don't let us let our souls overcome us for unlawful urges. So it's just a parallel that we're being trained for during this month of Ramadan. Now, I want us to, because we've got a very short amount of time, I want us to understand one thing, that this Ramadan that's coming up, my dua to Allah for this Ramadan is that, oh Allah, make this Ramadan better for me than any Ramadan before it. Make me closer to you than I've ever been before. Because if that's not the case, then it's just another Ramadan. Let's take an example. Do any of you remember the first time that you had to go for your interview after maybe you came into this country, or you finished your university or whatever, and then you had to be formal, you had to get your first suit, your first blazer, right? And you had to go for an interview, right? Does anybody remember that? Right, the blazer you got, I'm sure you weren't looking for a Gucci blazer at that time. I'm sure it was like any Primark blazer, Bismillah, George blazer, Asda blazer, you know, whatever. The first time you get your blazer, you just want a blazer, you just want to look smart, you just want to go. Slowly, slowly though, we become more refined. I don't want blazers from Primark anymore. Right, I'm going to go to Savile Row. I'm going to get a hand-stitched one. It's going to have to be Canali Giorgio Armani. Right? The first time you got a handbag, right? Young girl growing up, she wants a handbag. Oh, any handbag that looks nice is wonderful. But eventually it has to be Louis Vuitton, right? You have to get a Louis Vuitton one, because that's the one company which is so amazing, right? I have to say this. It's the cheaper brands that put emblazoned logos on their products. And the inner city people, they take them up because they need a sense of identity. And they want to become Adidas or Nike or whatever it is. But generally, upper class brands, designer brands, they didn't do that. They had small labels. Because it was all about the style. Right? But Louis Vuitton is one of those companies that have plastered their bags with the LV sign and make you pay £500 and £600 to promote them. Thank you very much. That's slowly, slowly with everything in the world. Has anybody been to Dubai, by the way? Right. Dunya 10.0 on steroids. Do you understand what I'm speaking about? Basically, in everything of this world, if we use the computer software idea, I remember when I was on Windows 3.1, right, with a few megabytes of hard drive. But we upgrade and upgrade and upgrade. That's why when it comes to everything, whether it's our clothing, whether it is our food, we are connoisseurs. Every year we become better. We know exactly where we want to eat and where we don't want to eat. We know exactly what we want to wear and what we don't want to wear. So when it comes to anything worldly, we are on dunya 10.0. Unfortunately, sometimes when it comes to our deen, our religion, we're still in beta mode. What I mean by that is when we come into Ramadan now, are we going to the Ramadan package for this year that we are going to entertain and adopt? Is it going to be that same no-frills, generic brand package that we're going to do? The same old thing we've been doing for the last 10 years, for this Ramadan as well. When Allah is making all of these cosmic, massive changes, showering His blessing and barakah. There's a hadith which says that if a person misses a fast in Ramadan with no excuse, and then they feel guilty, for example, and then they try to fast the entire year, the rest of Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, the entire year, they will not be able to replace that same level of blessing and reward they would have attained from that one day of Ramadan. When I thought of that, I was just like, wow, how much of a concentration of blessing that is being diluted and concentrated for us in the month of Ramadan. That's quite amazing. So to miss that is a problem. So how do we get the best out of the month of Ramadan? The way I found is that number one, we need to prepare for it. For anything that you prepare for, you will get more out of it. If you don't prepare for something and you go into it cold, we won't get much out of it. Because then it's all haphazard. Then you do things as they come along. You're sleeping sometimes. You're feeling tired. You're doing this, that time, or that. If we know from our past experiences of Ramadan, both our brothers and sisters, past experiences of Ramadan, this is how I feel, right? It's going to be hot probably. This is the kind of thing I have to do. Let us from now to Ramadan, the next few weeks that we have, try to get rid of all of the major chores, and whether that be at work or at home, preparations for things that we need for Ramadan. Let's get the major preparations done, right, during these weeks. So when we actually get into Ramadan, we can actually then focus. Also, we know what we've done for the last several years at least in Ramadan. Let's up our game during this month of Ramadan. Let's have an objective in mind, right? I generally even suggest, and this is what my wife does, for the 30 days of Ramadan, she even has a menu ready for each day. I mean, our sisters will agree sometimes that more than cooking sometimes, it's sometimes more difficult to think of the right dish to cook. I know that because sometimes my wife's asking me in the morning, what should I cook? I was like, anything. Like, you know, I don't know what, but then we're very quick to criticize when it's not right, right? Thinking about what to cook and prepare, especially for somebody who's discerning, somebody who wants to do a good job, it's one of the most difficult things. Brainstorm right now, that's what my wife does, 30 days, exactly what on every day, and then try to stick to that. And then you also know what supplies to buy and things. These are just practical things. When the month of Ramadan comes, of course, Ramadan is the month of the Quran. I mean, we have a very short amount of time. I'm just going to quickly mention a few things. But the other thing in the month of Ramadan that you have an option to do, which people find difficult to do outside the month of Ramadan, is tahajjud prayer. I mean, speaking about tahajjud prayer, which is the special night vigil prayer, assumes that we're already doing our five prayers, so I'm not speaking about them. I'm saying that inshallah, if we're already doing our five prayers, tahajjud prayer is that one prayer that you pray when people are sleeping, right? We're generally before Fajr. And the reason why that time is so potent is because the ulama have written, that's the time when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Sallu bil layli wa nasu niyam." pray at night when people are sleeping is because they're saying that the mischief makers and the evil people of the night have by then gone to sleep. I know in England, the time for Fajr depends on which time you follow, which timetable you follow, and it could be very early or it could be quite late, right? I know there's that, but... And then the day's mischief mongers haven't woken up yet. So that's supposed to be the most pristine time when people are sleeping and you are waking up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The women and the men at least do 2 rakats of prayer, if not 4, and at least make a few minutes of dua. Those du'as will be accepted. Ramadan is the time when Allah is willing to give. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions about him that he used to be generous. And it says that the most generous he used to be was in the month of Ramadan. He used to be the most generous in the month of Ramadan. I know today is a night of generosity. Right? Tonight is the night of generosity. Give whenever you want to give. But the point about giving is very important. The wealth that we have, Allah has made us caretakers for it. I was with a very important friend of mine. And he mentioned that he'd paid for something. He'd donated to some institution. And I was like, wow, that's really good. He says, this is what he said to me. And it made so much sense. He said, you know, if you have a tap with a pipe system with a tap and you leave it closed for a long time and you come back after a holiday and you put that tap on, it's going to come with dirty water first. If you continue to release the tap and you continue to use it, the water supply will continue to remain afresh. At the end of the day, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama ana qasim wallahu yu'ti." I am just the distributor. Allah is the giver. And we know, I mean, you guys have done fundraisers, you've been to fundraisers, and I'm sure our brother here, Rahim, is going to, mashallah, get you guys going with all of that. But there's no doubt about this fact that when you give in the path of Allah, you will not miss that money. You will always get the barakah and blessing back. Unfortunately, we live in a time where we put money in a savings account and we see the money increase because we live in an empirical world where you have things are based on observation. We need to see the money grow, otherwise we don't believe in it. Allah tells us something that sounds unempirical because we can't observe it. He says, give one in the path of Allah and we'll give you 70 back. Unfortunately, there's no website that you can register and log into to actually see that account. That's why it makes it so difficult. But the bottom line is that Allah describing us in the Quran, right in the beginning, says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. These are the people who believe in the unseen. This is one of the greatest characteristics of a believer. Our whole life in this world is based on a belief in the unseen. Otherwise, why would you be here today? Right? When we give for the sake of Allah. And finally, in Suratul Munafiqun, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. And spend from what we have given you. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Before the time comes, when death comes to you, فَيَقُولُ. And after your death, you will say, رَبِّي, O my Lord, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي. Had you given me a bit more time. Now remember, think about this state. We're about to die or we have died. And there is one thing that we want to go back to the dunya for. The person here is asking Allah, oh Allah, give me some more time to let me go back to the world. What do you think that's going to be? Why would you want to go back to the world? What is the one deed that you're going to want to do? لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. If you just give me a short amount of time, a small period, that's it. What do you think it's going to be? People may say prayer, people may say paying my debt, you know, etc. It says, فَأَصَّدَّقَ. So that I can give sadaqah. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And I can be of the righteous ones. Giving for a cause helps you to become righteous. Because that shows truthfulness. It shows that if you are moved by a particular cause, if you are moved to spend £900 on a new iPhone,
you are basically faithful to the cause of Apple, mashallah. Right, that shows your faith. If you can have the same kind of faith for our Muslim projects. And you know, unfortunately, I've not had much time to discover Nur al-Islam as much as I would like to. Right, I must confess that, because I've just been too busy since I've come back from America. But that's no excuse. From what I've been hearing from my friends who do know about it, they're doing a wonderful job. And I have some students in our institute, White Thread Institute, that I've actually studied at the Darulum that you have in, I don't know what it's called, but the Darulum that you have. And mashallah, there's some really good teaching that's taking place there. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. We ask Allah for facilitation. We ask Allah for completion. And may Allah bless you all. May Allah bless us all. And may Allah allow this Ramadan to be better than any other. Allow us to come out of it closer to Allah than we've ever been before. May Allah accept. May Allah accept. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.